Randall Saito is back in custody, according to a Honolulu Police Department spokesman quoted by the Associated Press in today's Civil Beat. There's very little that's clear about his escape and flight to the mainland, except that several individuals and agencies entrusted with public safety failed to do their job. Civil Beat's Chad Blair has the story in today's Reality Check. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Chris.
This is you can't make this kind of stuff up. This is a real comedy of errors, isn't it?
It is, and it's also a developing story. Louis Kinnea would have been here to be on the show today, but in fact, the governor has a press conference, which started just now, and along with Doug Chin, the attorney general, Virginia Pressler from the Department of Health, and as you can imagine, there will be a lot of questions about what happened. But it looks like what happened in terms of the arrest was that there was a Crime Stoppers tip that Saito was headed to his brother's house in Stockton, California. And sure enough, that led to the arrest, and there are now photos out of him, of Saito actually in custody. Presumably extradition will start shortly. But boy, thus far we don't have really many details on how it was that Saito got out, other than the fact that it was at least 8 hours before public safety, the Department of Public Safety, was notified on Sunday about the escape. And by then, he had already chartered a flight to Maui and then caught an airline to San Jose. An amazing story.
Well, you know, let me see if I've got this chronology right. Takes a cab from the state mental hospital to the airport.
Yeah, in Kaneohe, right?
Yeah, in Kaneohe to the airport. Somehow gets on a charter flight paying cash.
Yeah.
Apparently no luggage, right? So a guy shows up with a wad of cash and no luggage and wants to charter a plane to Maui, and then somehow ends up on a commercial flight to the mainland, which means TSA let him go by, state and local authorities let him go by. How many people screwed up on this pathway to his destiny?
Well, we're sure going to have to get a lot of answers. There are various news reports. I can't confirm them, but there's talk that maybe it was an inside job. There was talk that somehow he was able to get a fake ID. We don't know if that is the case. When the hospital and the health officials had their press conference yesterday to talk about what happened, they said, look, privacy laws prevent us from saying much more. There's also a pending investigation. I would imagine that's no longer pending. I imagine that's completely underway to find out exactly what happened. And hopefully there'll be some news out of the governor's press conference today.
Well, there's certainly going to be some questions asked at the governor's press conference today because, you know, we've heard so much about how security related to travel, especially mainland travel, has been tightened up. But this is a lot had to fall through the cracks, I would think.
Right. And the hospital has various levels of security. It's not, you know, exactly like a law of a prison. There are people that are allowed on work release and so forth. I know it's right next to Windward Community College. The problem in this case is Saito clearly had a very dangerous history. As we all know by now, he shot and stabbed a woman. He has a predilection for necrophilia, sexual sadism, a serial killer criteria classified by some, very dangerous. How on earth was he on unsupervised leave? That is the big question. Why did it take so long to report it? A second big question.
Well, he's apparently back in custody, so there's some relief to be had there.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Chad.
Thanks, Chris.
Every day we bring you a reality check from Civil Beat, today featuring political and opinion editor Chad Blair.
Amada mi amore mio. Amada mi amore. Amada mi amore mio.